gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, I don't often use the word humdinger. Today's show, a humdinger, ladies and gentlemen. Humdinger. Representative Allison Schwartz, Democrat of the great state of Pennsylvania, next hour. Charlie Pierce, author of Idiot America, just in time.
Yes.
For the right wing rooting against the Olympics coming to America. Representative Ed Perlmutter, Democrat of the great state of Colorado, and Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, both of them in hour number three on the big show today. Jim Ward, out sick. Food poisoning, we're told. I think it's swine flu.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
His lovely wife, Janiqua.
Yes.
Left a
Jamiroquai.
Message. Left a message last night. So we wish we wish Jim Ward a magical recovery.
I got the message at 9 o'clock last night. By then, I've already been asleep for 2 hours. So
We wish him a speedy recovery. All right. So the big news, of course, always has to do with
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, the CNN ban on talk radio host. I guess, unless I'm not supposed to bring attention to it. But in any case, I was on Larry King last night.
No, don't speak.
How can you not bring Larry King? How can you not bring attention to it?
I don't know. You remember CNN banned talk radio hosts, including, of course,
Stephanie Miller.
Yes.
Yes.
However, I got a little ring-ding last night from my friends at the Lair.
Someone must have canceled at the last minute.
And I was able to tell Penn Jillette that he hates America.
I think Penn didn't like Bush or Obama because he clearly hates America.
I made him scream like a little girl.
Yeah. That was weird. He also said that it was weird that on one issue, he was to the left of you?
Yeah, he flanked me to the left on Afghanistan. I am of the giving the president some friggin' time was the theme last night. It was, the topic was the Saturday Night Live sketch that we've talked about that I just think is unfair.
Right.
We're 8 months in. He was left a lot of huge problems to solve. And I think one of our callers said yesterday, give him a friggin' minute. I made it. Well, you know, I had to use it as an opportunity to make a joke. I don't know if you heard that, but I... But it's true. I said, we're a country, but we want stuff to work right away. We want our erection pills to work immediately, even if it lasts 4 hours and you need to get a doctor involved. We don't care. Now. We need it to let work now. So I just was saying I thought the premise was unfair. We're going to get health care. Did anyone really think Iraq and Afghanistan, really, we're going to be wrapped up in 8 months? I mean, it's just so disingenuous, I think, on the right. I have to fill the Lair in on what Rush said, because I can tell that Larry doesn't listen.
Oh, well.
And I was talking about the right wing, cheering, rooting against America. We have this on tape, video of them cheering and high-fiving when Chicago lost the Olympics, because it's all about Obama failing for them.
Yep.
So anyway, but I was saying, and Rush Limbaugh called the president a blithering idiot and an imbecile for not getting the Olympics. And he's like, really? Rush said that? No, he didn't. And I'm like, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, we played the audio yesterday, Larry, which we'll play again tomorrow as soon as we find it again.
Yeah.
but you know that this will probably, you know what happens. Now Rush will go on and say things about me today that will be make me angry and be inexplicable. Like
Stephanie
this.
Miller, who is a babe on some days, she knows what I mean.
See, stuff like that. I don't even understand.
You looked like a babe last night.
No, I'm going to guess that I was not a babe last night in Rush's opinion.
But you looked like one.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. I got a lot of great comments about your hair.
Oh, really? Because normally I get the cattiest stuff about my hair. Oh, threats of drive-by hairdressings from San Francisco and West Hollywood. It's awful.
Your hair is looking a little more auburn than it usually does. Usually it's a little more...
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's my big night. First night back on CNN. So.
Right.
Mama gussied up a little bit. Yeah, but I... That's the thing, and then Rush will say that he didn't say that. He'll say, well, once again, these libs, my friends, the little state-run media, they're taking me out of context. Can you explain to me what context you can call the President of the United States a blithering idiot or an imbecile, and that would be okay?
Well, the previous one
You
was.
Heard the audio, right? Chris, we played it in Right Wing World yesterday.
Yes.
We're being governed by an imbecile, my friends.
Oh, okay, here, I'll tell you the context, because I do listen, because then he'll say that I don't actually listen, that I just heard he said that. No, the context was that the President shouldn't have gone unless... He knew for sure that he was going to, as we said yesterday, which is interesting theory of leadership, that you should never try anything unless you know for sure that it's going to succeed.
Yeah.
Yes, you must know the outcome in advance. I actually asked Penn Jillette, being a fabulous magician, if he could make Rush Limbaugh disappear.
I don't. Penn Jillette doesn't like Rush Limbaugh either. Penn Jillette is a good, proper libertarian.
Yeah. Well, he was, you know, the official Obama basher of the night, and I was the Obama defender. So anyway, but yeah, but then he flanked me on Afghanistan.
Yeah.
That we should just get out immediately.
At least he doesn't toe any party line. I kind of like Penn Jillette.
I did basically say General McChrystal should maybe shut his pie hole on TV. All right.
That yes, I agree with you there.
And I maybe this isn't going to be. I'm just saying. Did you see this latest horrible tragedy? The biggest, you know, loss of American life we've had. It was 8 soldiers killed all at once.
Right.
But I have seen speculation about what were they doing at this remote outpost where General McChrystal's strategy was supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they're concentrating on population centers and not going to be, you know, so then you have to go, hey, General McChrystal, maybe take a second off television and, you know,
and
make
lead.
Sure they're exactly following your orders in Afghanistan. I'm just reading what I read about, you know, people are saying General McChrystal's plan was this. Well, okay, then why are soldiers still in these remote outposts?
Why does the enemy know our plan?
Because General McChrystal won't shut his big gap
on
TV.
That's a problem. That's a big problem.
All right. Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Tim.
Good morning. First, yes, your hair was beautiful last night.
Thank you.
I can't even be snarky about it. But I completely
Which I know I've ruined your whole day.
You did. You really did. I was looking forward to you looking like a mess because of like a last-minute thing, and I'm like, damn, she looks good.
Yeah, exactly. I've been waiting for months for Larry to call, and then he finally called. I was like, no! No! Where's my flat iron? Yeah.
No, but you were completely right about, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. I was actually watching Fox this morning. They were just slamming Obama about how the love affair with the liberal media is gone. And he's not omnipotent. He can't get everything done in 8 months.
Yep.
You see the, like, piles of dog crap sitting on the White House door from Bush.
Yeah, oh, that's right. I made a poo joke and a joke on Larry King last night. I said this is yet another flaming pile of dog poo that the Bush administration left him.
I think you should have Penn on. I really think you should have
Penn. Oh, we've had him on.
Yeah, we've had him on.
It was great.
Yeah, we'll have him on again. No, he's very funny. He's very funny. I told you last time we were in the green room, he did a very funny bit about how he hates being the one on a satellite.
Because
you do have a delay. And so it looks like you have to think about stuff. Or like, oh, what do you think about total nuclear annihilation? Well, I feel like it's a pause. It looks like, oh, let me think on that for a second. All right, let's go to Jeff in Salem, Massachusetts. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, Jeff.
And Mooks. Good morning. You know, it just occurred to me that, you know, for Larry King's sake,
yes.
you might want to take your box with you.
Really? Huh? Well, what is he, David Letterman?
Well, you know, I mean, this is to help him with the sound bites. He hadn't heard accusing Obama being a blithering idiot.
Well,
so you bring
Jeff,
your box
some,
with you.
It was last minute. Sometimes I forget my box when I get a last-minute invitation.
Well, now you know. You always should carry your box around with
Thank you
for those
All
days.
Right. I think good to know. Make a note of it. All right. No, it's true. I have to fill Larry in on because I'm like, yes, he said that.
Yeah.
That's the other thing is that Larry's like, what do you mean? Really? Were they celebrating? I'm like, they just ran the video footage on your network. All right. Tom, by the way, mm-hmm. a fine American, writes, because this is all this, you know, what has he done? What has he done? He hasn't done anything in 8 months. Tom writes, where did Bush have us by October 2001?
Oh, boy.
Good point. Hi, Steph. Oh, yeah. We'd been attacked on Bush's careful watch on 9/11, 8 full months after he was sworn in. Yes, Rush, pop that old belly out real proudly on that one. And Beck, glad to see you didn't run out of Vicks vapor rub to put under your eyes to fake the tears you showed after that horrific day. So, yes, Republicans, you might hate how Obama is handling things, but at least we haven't been attacked under his watch like your party's president was with prior knowledge. Tom, why, there's some good points.
Salient.
Yes, that's what Bush had accomplished in 8 months, as I recall. The worst national security failure in our history. There's that.
He got our asses attacked.
Okay. Let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we, kids? I know we're already in it, but now we're soaking in it.
Yes.
Now we're like knee-deep. Oh, Terry Jeffrey.
Oh, he made an appearance on Hardball
last
night.
This one I had to call you specifically to go find.
Yeah.
Terry Jeffrey, the teeny-tiny voiced Republican pundit with a great big vision for America.
Uh-huh.
He was particularly screechy because defending Rush is becoming more and more difficult. Because this is, he pointed out, exactly, you know, I think Chris Matthews pointed out the same thing I did. Just him, he was gloating.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, they played a bunch of audio because it wasn't even just what he said, Chris. It was his the tone in his voice. He just was so, you know, scornful. And
yeah.
You know what he's doing now every time he says Barack Obama? Have you heard that? He's imitating the school children.
Barack Hussein Obama.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Great.
Anyway, so yeah, he sounds like an eighth grader, basically. So he was just, everybody noticed that he just was gloating the entire show Friday and celebrating America not getting the Olympics. So Terry Jeffrey, I think Chris might have played some Rush audio and asked Terry Jeffrey to respond.
I think Rush makes an excellent point. I think one thing that, no, I do, and I think one thing, what he's pointing to, and I think it's something Americans ought to be very worried about with President Obama right now, is his going off to Copenhagen to lobby to get the Olympics for his hometown and failing to get it, it shows a serious lack of prudence.
I got to hear that.
Screechy much?
Again.
I've said before, he sometimes sounds like you stepped on a poodle's foot.
Yes.
This one, particularly.
A pack of poodles.
Particularly so, because it's a little hard to defend Rush anymore. So he's, I'm just saying, screechy much?
I think Rush.
Wow. That's awesome.
that was like a high-pitched version of trying to start my Dodge Dart in the winter in Buffalo, New York. Okay, never mind. I got to get the jumper cables. Never mind.
It sounds like trying to start a two-stroke engine on a scooter in Buffalo in the wintertime.
I think Rush.
Okay, that's our new audio crack. We're gonna have to put that in my box. That's going in my box for good. I love it so much. See, was it worth it?
Yes,
called you
it was.
Yesterday. You're like, oh, I got a lot of work to do. I'm like, please. Please.
Let me see if my TiVo recorded. Oh, good. Okay. There you go.
It's my version of a pony. It's the things that make me happy, and I'm a grown woman. That's just what the right sounds like defending Rush Limbaugh these days. Chris! Rush just makes an excellent point! Oh my God. I mean, seriously, has defending Rush ever sounded more pathetic? It's pathetic enough, these Republican lawmakers that rush to suck up to him and beg forgiveness for some stupid transgression, but that was just pathetic. That was like the scene where he was getting beaten by a belt by Bugsy. What's that movie, the Warren Beatty?
Bugsy.
Yeah, Bugsy. Oh, Rush! Rush! Oh, why, I ought to find a... he was going into curly territory there. I can't play that. You can tell I'm getting a cold. I can't play that anymore because we have Curly and then Smutley. All right, 20 minutes after the hour.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. We're only one serving into Right Wing World, and I'm already lost control of myself. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with more Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sue in Rockville, Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Sue.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Mook. And hope Jim is feeling better soon.
Yes.
You know, General McChrystal should never have been approved by the Senate to begin with. I mean, this guy is part and parcel of the Pat Tillman cover-up.
True. The Tillman family was not happy about him.
Tillman's mom back in June said, you know, not only she criticized John McCain because, of course, he helped whitewash the whole thing, and McChrystal had a very thin apology, but this guy should have shut his pie hole a long time ago, and he should have removed himself even from consideration.
Well,
I think people need to know, John Krakauer just wrote a great book all about Pat Tillman, and, you know, Stanley McChrystal's front and center of that cover-up.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that, you know, the White House, obviously that was a rebuke, if a mild one, but, you know, that Gates said this advice should come up through the chain of command, ahem, you know, would not be, I mean, you're right, I mean, he's trying to box the president in politically. And it's leading to these, you know, screamers on the right.
and then, you know, and then basically counteracting Joe Biden, which is not acceptable. It's simply not acceptable.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, look, there's a lot of good people with disagreement. I heard Senator Boxer this morning, and, you know, she was saying, look, she doesn't think troop numbers are the problem, that if you add up the numbers of our troops and the Afghan troops, that, it, you know, compared to the number of Taliban troops. And she also said 90-something percent of the Afghani people are against the Taliban.
You know, apparently yesterday, a bunch of anti-war protesters who were trying to encourage Obama to get out of Afghanistan completely tied themselves. They chained themselves to the White House fence, et cetera, and the White House, Robert Gibbs, claimed they had no idea there was anyone out there. And there were a lot of people out there.
Mm-hmm.
So are they going to be just blind?
I mean,
like
I think
with single payer, you know, oh, we didn't know anyone was interested in single payer.
But I think it's what Senator Boxer said too. That I think it's, you know, what is the strategy is more important than the numbers of troops. You know, I just think
Precisely.
The right is always like, more, kill, die, you know, and I think that's not necessarily the right strategy. I think that it does have to do with training Afghani troops and having them control the Taliban or, you know, fight against the Taliban, whatever. So, and it's remarkable that they're not popular, the Taliban.
Yeah.
One would think throwing acid in little girls' faces would be a wildly popular political strategy. Okay. Bill O'Reilly, of course, a noted military expert.
What? The longer General McChrystal's request for more troops goes unanswered, the more doubt there will be about the president's vision as commander-in-chief. After all, he has no experience fighting a war.
Mm-hmm.
An equivocation always translates into a weak profile.
And George Bush
That being
did.
Said, it's smart for the president to make a decision that will help the U.S. military in a very complicated theater. But time is growing short, and Mr. Obama needs to make a call soon.
Oh, I see. You needed to do it on Fox News timeline. I see. And not one that might involve thinking through the strategy and talking to a lot of advisors. By the way, General McChrystal, not the only advisor?
Right.
Okay. I see. So if you don't move on Fox News' timeline, then you're dithering. Is that did he use that word? Dithering? He's I see. And George,
then you look unsure.
And George Bush, of course, had a lot of military experience, of course, fighting the Vietnamese in Lubbock, I believe it was. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. No, he didn't even show up.
Right.
My apologies. Okay, O'Reilly again.
The commander in chief now is looking like he's unsure. Mm. This is Barack Obama I'm talking about. He's looking to the world like he doesn't really know what to do.
Mm. Yes. Or alternatively, Chris, perhaps like he's thinking things through before rushing into some military strategy rashly, as one might have recalled from recent times.
Looking at all the options and strategies.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thinking through something that is the most important decision a commander-in-chief makes, and that is sending more Americans into harm's way. Huh, yeah, I miss the rashness, too. All right, next in Right Wing World, Bill O'Reilly, on why he hasn't made much of a peep about the David Letterman scandal. Next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Only alcohol can make life bearable. You must drink, always drink.
Fun fact about Mama. Had I already started Cocktail Hour when Larry King called yesterday?
Computer says yes.
Really?
A couple of glasses of Chardonnay.
Maybe that's why you looked so good last night. It's when you're sober that you're a skank.
Claire, thank you. Why, thank you. Aw.
Aw.
You're just saying that to be sweet. a couple of Benadryl or so because I'm getting sick. So, Woo! My mama pulled it together when the Lair called.
You were drinking on Benadryl?
Claritin. I don't remember.
Oh, dear.
I don't remember what I took. I was too drunk.
Okay.
All right. So, I wondered what Bill O'Reilly had to say about David Letterman's. It's kind of strange, isn't it, Chris, that Bill O'Reilly might be somewhat circumspect about anything that might smack of sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm. We didn't do a lot here on the Letterman thing, which I think was a wise decision.
Because you're a good guy.
This is an unpleasant story.
This leaves a bad taste in my mouth because of, well...
Say, baby, put down that pipe and get my pipe
off. All right. Yeah, maybe it hits a little too close to home. This is an unpleasant story. Since when has Bill O'Reilly ever passed up an opportunity to beat on someone that he perceives as on the left?
Right. Oh, God.
Okay. Once again, Mama will explain. The difference between, right-wingers and left-wingers, oftentimes in sexual harassment scandals, is people want to have sex with people on the left.
Yeah, the Letterman thing was completely consensual.
Yes, whereas... Oh, I'm sorry, Chris, just a review, because some people may not remember.
Right.
Andrea Macris, who worked for Bill O'Reilly, filed a sexual harassment lawsuit against her because he apparently sexually harassed her and talked dirty to her on the phone and out or whatever.
In an unwanted kind of way.
Yes. Floffles in the shower.
Whatever.
And, yes. And so he quietly settled that.
Yes.
So, people wouldn't talk about it on and on and on. Oh, did I keep talking about it? I'm so sorry.
No, don't speak.
For just about 5 years now.
As I've told you, I can't retain much information in my Chardonnay-soaked brain. However, I do have almost a photographic memory for the transcript, which was on Smoking Gun, the phone sex transcript.
Right. Which was awesome.
Anyway, that...
Uh-oh.
Please, you're going to start the phlegm. Okay. But anyway, it was, that is sexual harassment. That was something that was continuing and unwanted. Whereas with David Letterman, you see, the women, apparently, it was consensual dating.
Right.
So that's the difference. Nobody wants to Bill O'Reilly.
No. Ooh. Ah.
Which I think speaks for itself. Okay. In case you were wondering, because people are like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. What? People cheering against America? So, unfortunately, someone caught that on videotape. Which right-wing WAC convention was this?
It was the Defending the American Dream meeting, and that was the one attended by Newt Gingrich.
Yes. The Defending the American Dream Summit. They interrupted a panel discussion. This is somebody caught this on video, to read the news from a BlackBerry that America had lost the Olympics. They caught the crowd's reaction in the Arlington, Virginia hotel ballroom. The place erupted in hooting and wild applause. Chicago lost on the very first vote. They didn't have any chance, one woman said to an ovation, according to the video, which was recorded by a National Journal tracker. And then the one I particularly loved, did you see that little high five?
Yeah.
The woman in front of the video gave a little high five to the guy next door.
Chicago's out.
She said Chicago's out.
The very first vote, they did not have any chance at even negotiating. They were out on the first vote. So.
Yay, Rio!
Woo! Yeah, there was more dancing in the streets than in Rio.
Yep.
That Chicago not only out, but had no chance. Out on the first vote, even better! Woo!
More dancing in the street, less bikinis, though.
Yeah, ooh, I don't think you'd want to see any of those people in bikinis.
No.
Nobody at those conservative conventions. No siree.
Oof.
A blogger with the right-wing Weekly Standard, in a related story, wrote, Chicago loses, extra exclamation points.
Mm-hmm.
Cheers erupt at the Weekly Standard World Headquarters. Woo-hoo! I believe it was Marcos Melitos at Daily Coast that said it used to be America. Yeah, now it's America, yeah! It's just they kind of turned it around.
Yeah.
Then they think that's okay. Former Bush press secretary Dana Perino, she said, I don't know anyone who's high-fiving. Much like John Boehner said he doesn't know anybody that's for the public option.
Right. They don't
even
get out
though
much.
Around 70% of the American people are. But, yeah, I guess she doesn't have a TV, so she wasn't able to watch the people high-fiving. Because she doesn't personally know anybody that was high-fiving. Apparently, it didn't happen.
I dare say that makes both of them out of touch.
You think? Chris Van Hollen, whom we know.
He's a great guy.
Democrat of the great state of Maryland, said some of these people are starting to put politics first and country second. What you think?
Yeah.
The American people are starting to wonder if they're rooting against America.
Computer says yes.
Yes. Yes, indeed they are. By the way, here's a little historical fun fact. In late 2002, guess who shouted down Representative Bob Filner, a California Democrat, who challenged the Bush administration pre-war Iraq intelligence?
Who?
Who bellowed at him, "This hatred of America by some people is just outrageous, and you need to get over it." Well-known asshat, Representative Joe Wilson.
Oh, God.
In 2002. Calling the Democrat, because they had the audacity to say something crazy like maybe the Iraq pre-war intelligence is off somehow. All right, that's when he was just a little baby ass hat before he grew into the full-fledged, full-blown...
The giant ass hat
that he is at this point.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of Screechy, Dick Morris, is he still doing the socialist fear-mongering on health care?
Of course he is.
He's going to get winded by a run-on sentence again.
The socialists said, let's take over Europe with the European Union. That way they won't flee to another European country. But they all went to the United States. Mm. Now they're trying to bring the United States into the global system so that they can impose their socialistic principles of guaranteed vacation, maximum work weeks, force you to blend in this global community, high tax rates, without fleeing to the United States as an alternative. And that's one of the things that's behind this medical care, health care reform, to make us like the rest of the world so they can do their way in Europe without the U.S. getting a competitive advantage.
Wow. He really does not take a breath.
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
Did you hear any of the content, though?
Not really. Okay. Socialists trying to bring their system to the U.S. They're something European.
Right, it's part
socialist
of a big grand plot to bring socialism to America
French.
And meld it into the socialism of Europe.
French gay. Okay. Oh, Sean, don't be scared.
What Barack Obama is doing scares the living daylights out of me. And I mean this, I don't say this in a frivolous way.
No.
I think he is hurting the economy in a profound way. Mm. I think he is deep in his soul more radical than anyone anticipated. I believe he's a socialist.
Oh, he can see deep into his soul.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I see. So only right-wingers have that special ability, like Bush had, to see into Vladimir Putin's soul.
It's like a superpower.
Wow.
Yeah.
He can see deep into Barack Obama's soul.
Uh-huh.
Where what he sees is more radical than what anyone else sees.
That's right.
He sees dead souls. Okay. All right. That concludes another.
Barack Obama is a little too centrist for me.
I was going to say, if only he was even close to socialism. All right. Wow. He's had a profound impact on the economy. Yes, that's amazing, isn't he? That in 8 months, Chris, he was able to dent that, it was almost airtight and in perfect shape, the economy the Bush administration handed off, wasn't it?
Mm.
It's amazing he was able to do that. And they say he hasn't accomplished anything. All right, 42.
The economy has only improved since Obama got into office.
Yes, we've been pretty much, according to any economist on either side of the aisle, pulled back from the brink of what could have been the next Great Depression.
Right.
But, okay, whatever. All right, the White House made a major declaration about the war.
You know
one of my favorite feelings?
Oops, sorry.
Oh, pardon me. That was me talking over me.
That was you.
How dare me?
Ugh. Hmm.
The White House made a major declaration about the war in Afghanistan yesterday. We'll tell you what it was as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, come on, let's go. 1-800-STEP-12. Let's go.
Break it down now.
I'm just saying, a lot of our listeners with opposable thumbs have better ideas than a lot of lawmakers. Get on the phone, get things solved. 47 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Jay in Toronto, where I can't believe there's anyone still alive, according to Sean Hannity. Why, I thought your healthcare system had killed everybody.
Hi, yes, Stephanie. Actually, that's what I'm calling about. One day I was watching Sean Hannity, and I could only take him for about 3 minutes at a time, but he said that 70% of Canadians want to dismantle their health system. And
really?
You know what? I've never met a single person that wants to dismantle our health system.
Where did Sean cite that information as being from?
He never did state where he got those numbers, but we're very happy with our single. I am personally, and everybody that I speak to is. And let me give you both sides of the issue on this, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm,
yes,
mm-hmm.
We have single payer in Ontario, Canada, and sometimes, you know what, there are some downsides. I've waited in emergency with my various family members for up to 6 hours. Not waited, really. They're doing tests, et cetera, right? So in and out.
In emergency. Well, I'll tell you the difference. In America, the emergency room, you normally wait until you die in the waiting room, if you've watched some of the video here.
But here's the thing, Stephanie, and now you actually have the ear of some of these people, right? You go on their shows, although I haven't seen you on Larry King for a while. What's happening there?
Well, I just got on last night, finally. Apparently the ban on talk radio hosts is over!
Yes, okay. And you can see the video by going to stephaniemiller.com.
Okay, well, I will watch it. But here's the thing. When they cite this, you know, they deride the Canadian and European system, I see even the Democratic analysts, and what their answer is, well, we're not proposing that. But really, they don't defend our systems, which basically in the U.S., the per capita cost of health care is somewhere around above 15%, maybe 18%. In Canada, it's less than 9%.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. I don't know, you know, anybody that I know at least doesn't think the Canadian system is better. And we hear the same thing from callers from Canada all the time. There's not one person that would trade your system in Canada for our system. All right.
You got to be called out for these things.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I have my O Canada music, please? Speaking of which, the UN has done their annual list as the best places in the world to live. You know, it's based on all sorts of things, life expectancy,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. Huh, I see Canada is number 4 here. Where's the United States? Oh, 13. We're below Luxembourg and Finland. Although we do barely beat Liechtenstein.
Oh.
The UN list, Norway retains its status as the world's most desirable place to live. The sub-Saharan African states are the worst. Norway, let's see, the list is Norway, Australia, Iceland, Canada, Ireland, the top 5.
Oh, all nice places.
Oh, you like top 10?
Sure.
Netherlands, Sweden, France, Switzerland, Japan. Do we make the top 10?
No. Neptune says no.
No. There we are. Number 13. Just saying.
Go Canada.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to Genevieve in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hello.
Hey, Stephanie. I can't believe you're taking my call.
I can't believe I am either.
I know. I'm so excited.
Oh, my God.
But I just got in the car. I'm driving to work, and I heard that, I don't know, right-wing guy, whatever, talking about the, you know, guaranteed vacation and the maximum work week, and that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, I just think it's funny, though, because, like, this summer, the Senate went on their vacation,
mm-hmm.
even though...
Yeah, they have the fancy health care and lots of vacation.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we're going to talk about socialism, let's talk about the senators.
Exactly. Congress is like Norway, for God's sakes.
Right. Exactly. So, anyway, I'm so glad that you're on the radio in Santa Fe. And I dropped my kid off the babysitter, but thanks.
No, thank you, honey. I can't wait to come visit. Santa Fe is gorgeous,
yes.
I understand.
Oh,
speaking of which, I will be in Madison, Wisconsin with Bill Press this weekend. Come out to the Barrymore Theater to see us. You can go to the calendar section of StephanieMiller.com. And Mama, as we know, loves her some Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Where they do the various forms of
Madison, Wisconsin, where we expect those people to be communing with Satan up there in the Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes, I'm always gratified by various animal sacrifices and things that they do for me. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. Mama's an animal lover. All right.
Dead animal sacrifices.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
What?
Huh?
All right. President Obama and top administration officials will meet with Republican and Democratic House and Senate leadership and key committee chairmen at the White House today to discuss Afghanistan. Oh, the Boner and Eric Cantor will be there, so you know everything will come out just fine.
Great. They'll just say no just to be against the president.
Yes. Republicans have been hammering the president, insisting they bring General McChrystal to Washington to testify in Capitol Hill. You know, since when? This is supposed to be a private, you know, advice to the president, to the commander-in-chief. This, you know, they love this. They love any way they can divide.
Mm-hmm.
Even if something as critical is, you know, America's national security, which they think is their issue, they're willing to try to, you know, exploit what they see as maybe a division between the president, you know, that's not how you do military strategy. You don't have him testify publicly before you do it. Well, here's what we're going to do. Geraldo, bring that shot in here. You know what? Bring a sandbox in and draw a place in the sand so we can show them what we're going to do next.
And you know what? McChrystal has better things to do. He has more important things to do. Like,
perhaps maybe he can explain why so many Americans are being killed at these remote outposts that he supposedly, that's against his strategy.
Yeah.
Why isn't his strategy the current one being implemented? It's supposed to center more around population centers and not in these remote outposts. All right. Robert Gates, the defense secretary, appealed for calm yesterday in the time and the privacy for the president to come to a decision. He said that President Obama will not walk away from the war in Afghanistan, though, as he's facing all these tough decisions. Robert Gates, defense secretary.
So it is important that we take our time to do all we can to get this right.
What? That's crazy.
And in this process, it is imperative that all of us taking part in these deliberations, civilians and military alike, provide our best advice to the president candidly.
Thank you.
But privately.
Oops, snap. Snap, General McChrystal.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't you talk about like Republicans exploiting divisions because one general says one thing. You know, Robert Gates has comments. What's his name? Jim Jones, or am I saying his name right? Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of them are saying the same thing. This is not the way this is done. He said, I believe decisions the president will make for the next stage of the Afghanistan campaign will be among the most important of his presidency. It's important to take our time to get this right,
absolutely,
as he just said. He emphasized the need for confidentiality in advising the president, echoed by remarks, National Security Advisor Jim Jones, who is a retired Marine general. Jones had said, if you saw him this Sunday on CNN, ideally it's best for military advice to come up through the chain of command. Snap. Robert Gates, once again.
Afghanistan has been on a different and worrisome trajectory, with violence levels up some 60% from last year. I believe the decisions that the president will make for the next stage of the Afghanistan campaign will be among the most important of his presidency.
Here's another important area where, you know, a lot of people, a lot of smart people can disagree, including
sure,
military people, about what I think I was mentioning. I heard Senator Boxer, whom we love,
mm-hmm,
who is the matron saint of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Absolutely.
But talking about how, the actual numbers of troops between on our side, the Afghan troops that are trained and American troops, and the number of Taliban troops, it's minuscule.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have to ask yourself, what's General McChrystal's strategy,
right,
exactly? You know, I mean, she said, look, if his strategy is to build, to nation build from one end to the other, I don't know that we're going to be able to do that. So that I think that it really is more important. There's people like Joe Biden in the administration that think a counterinsurgency strategy is better, strike forces. Again, above my pay grade, I'm not a military
right,
expert, but it's not, that's the thing. It's just, they're going to be, whatever way Obama's for, they'll be against that way.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's going to be effective or not. So I think, and again, every situation is different. This is not the exact same situation as Iraq. You know, everybody knows the history of it. We know that we went in to get Al-Qaeda.
Right.
We didn't. We let them get away at Tora Bora, and now they're largely in Pakistan. So the thing the president's wrestling with is, now what? Obviously, we don't want them to regroup and be able to strike America again. But I think, like Senator Boxer was saying, how do you know that its number of troops, we already overwhelmingly outnumber them? All good points. Robert Gates again.
Speaking for the Department of Defense, once the commander-in-chief makes his decisions, we will salute and execute those decisions faithfully and to the best of our ability.
Talking to you, General McChrystal. Okay. Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary.
That's the process that the president is going through in meetings 3 and 4 this week, to try to get this strategy right and to do it not based on the back and forth or rumors about this or that, but on what he thinks is best in the best national security advice and posture of the United States of America.
And as Robert Gates pointed out, who was there? It took months for Bush to decide on the surge strategy in Iraq. All right, Representative Allison Schwartz, Democrat of the great state of Pennsylvania, next to talk about all the news of the day, including health care, on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Aha, StephanieMiller.com, that website, check it out. The video of Mama on Larry King Live is up in the what section?
Just scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, and you'll see the YouTube video that was kindly posted by Shano.
Thank you, Shano.
Yes.
CNN's ban on talk radio host.
Ha ha!
appears to be short-lived. Unless maybe I should shut up about it, unless it be back in effect. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere to join the party. Charlie Pierce, author of Idiot America, one of our very favorites, coming up on the Celebrity Hotline. But first, oh, the Newsmaker Hotline is throbbing. Representative Allison Schwartz, a lawmaker from the great state of Pennsylvania. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Sure.
So the president, surrounded by quite a few doctors yesterday who support health care, he said nobody has more credibility with the American people on this issue than you do. Largely very supportive of the president's plan, right?
Yes, I think it was a very positive event and a really important show of support for healthcare reform. Bringing doctors together and having them say it's time to do this. We can get this done. We should get this done. It's good for their patients. It's good for them. Is I think very helpful in moving this process forward. It'd be great for them to have a group of nurses like that too, because I think they're even trusted even more by the American public.
Right.
But doctors are as well, and I think it was a really great event to have.
Well, and I think, that polling bears that out, Congresswoman, that, doctors largely supportive of this. Here's what happens. Your friend John Boehner, he just came out yesterday and said thousands of doctors object to the plan, but he offers no evidence of that. Of which doctors? And he says it would, they say it would cripple their ability to care for their patients.
Well, we do want to make sure that Americans who like their doctors, want to stay with their doctors, are going to understand that we are not doing anything in this healthcare reform to really get in the way of that very critical patient-doctor relationship, and that is important to each and every one of us. I mean, some of us change doctors anyway, might, but really just to understand that government's not going to get in the way of that, and that's really pretty important to each and every one of us, and
right.
That doctors will continue to be able to make the decisions they think are best for their patients. Of course, some find that they're already have to, now fighting with sometimes the insurer whether they actually can get the care that they need.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, consumers are in that situation, but it was important to have doctors stand up. I'm sure.
Well, I agree. Congresswoman, I personally don't know any doctors, including my own, that don't think the health insurance companies are the one coming between them and their patient at this point.
Right. It's the one that we hear complain about. I know that certainly the Republicans are saying that they want to make sure that we're paying doctors fairly and we're paying hospitals fairly, and the fact is that we should pay them fairly. I don't know quite what the Republicans are saying about that. Does that mean we have to pay them more, that we're not paying enough? That's a different story, but doctors want to be able to provide the health care that to their patients they know they need. And, of course, we want to make sure that they have the most up-to-date information available to them, that they are providing the very best kind of care to their patients. And as you may know, I've actually been very outspoken and actually written the part of the bill that really does create new incentives to make sure that we have primary care doctors available to us so that we actually have that ongoing care, particularly when we have chronic diseases. That's good for patients. It is also good for the bottom line, could save us money and save lives.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember now there was some new video last night, I guess one of these town halls, but I think it's another Republican lawmaker that, you've heard these, horror stories one after another, right, of people standing up in an audience and, explaining their problem. And I'm sorry, but, the Republicans don't seem to really have answers that make sense. I think this one guy suffered from horrible depression and literally was advised, he said, you can go to the emergency room, because he was saying, I don't have health care and I suffer from severe depression. You can't go to the emergency room for depression.
And certainly you should go for emergencies. And certainly if you were acutely depressed and suicidal, that's a fine place to go. But if you were looking for ongoing help, whether it's for a physical illness or a mental illness, you need the right kind of provider, and you need to get that on an ongoing basis, hopefully in an ambulatory care setting that's not the emergency room, because it's the most expensive mm-hmm. and inefficient place to get mm-hmm. health care. Didn't George Bush say that a number of years ago? It's like, wait, all Americans have health care. They can go to the emergency room.
Yes.
He actually said that.
Yes,
the fact
is
that we can. It's just a terribly inefficient and expensive way to get health care.
Yes, leave it to him. He sussed out the actual reason the health care system is broken.
Exactly.
because people don't have insurance and they're using the emergency room for primary care. Congresswoman, you know, I was on Larry King last night. We actually were talking about this Saturday Night Live sketch that, you know, was sort of about, oh, the president hasn't gotten anything done. And to me, it's so patently unfair, you know, when we're 8 months into a presidency that I think anyone would agree inherited a lot of problems from the previous administration. One of the things they said is, oh, have we gotten health care? No. Well, we're going to, aren't we?
We are going to.
Am I crazy? We're going to get health care reform.
We are going to get health care done. But I will just say, you know, really quickly that also this president, this administration has done more on health care in the first 8 weeks of his administration than the 8 years before for George Bush. We talked about, you know, extending the Children's Health Insurance Program, CHIP, to 4 million children of working families, almost 11 million children now can get health coverage through CHIP, extending and putting a serious investment of $20 billion in health information technology, the electronic medical records that can make sure your doctors and providers know what your conditions are, and you can get better care, and we can do it more efficiently and communicate, and of course the investment in NIH and research. Those were all done in the first 8 weeks. That's pretty serious work and a whole lot more than we had done for the whole administration before.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, even President Clinton has said, I mean, this has gotten much farther than it ever did in his administration. I mean, I think the Senate Finance Committee expected to approve its bill this week, correct? And then,
that's right.
And then we have the melding of all these bills.
And
so,
then we are going to move forward with a vote in the House, and we are going to then go to a conference committee and, you know, really work on the making sure the Senate and the House bill work. But we're getting this done. It's too important to our economy. It's too important to the American family. And we're going to get it done.
Do you still think by the end of the year?
I think by the end of the year. Yeah, mm-hmm. I do.
How long is it going to take to meld the House bills? You've got to meld all, what, you have three bills? Or how
Well, there's been three committees that have worked on it, but we started from the beginning to work together on those three committees, and that's been really, gives us a jump start.
Oh.
Then each of the committees made slight changes, some more significant than others, and we need to make sure that those changes don't conflict with each other, which, you know, where there are differences of opinion, we have to make final choices, and that we've been doing that now for weeks. And, of course, we also took a lot of feedback from what members heard from their districts in August and September, and we're going to make those final decisions. You know, I've met with the speaker a couple times last week, and we're going to move ahead and get a bill to the floor.
Mm-hmm. Congresswoman, what's your take on Afghanistan? That's obviously the other big debate in the news, and of course Republicans once again just. Anything that, you know, to try and divide, right? They're trying to, you know, play up these, what they see as a division between General McChrystal and the White House. To me, it's just taking the time to make a really important decision.
Oh,
right.
It's very important for us to get this right. There's no question. When you, first of all, when it comes to defense, we do try and be together. We'd like to think of it as not being highly partisan, but so be it. That's the situation we're in now. But the president and his advisors and Congress will weigh in as well are absolutely right to take very seriously before we send any new troops into Afghanistan. We're deeply concerned about the rise of terrorism and you know, training camps. But what we do about Afghanistan, how we do it, what's the smartest, most effective way to keep America safe again, in our engagement in that area of the world. I've been to Afghanistan. I've been to Pakistan. Been to Iraq. We have to weigh these next choices very, very seriously.
What is your personal take on
well,
what to
I'm
do next in Afghanistan?
I'm very hesitant about sending more troops. I do think we need to continue to support and train their military, their police force, and that foreign aid, particularly multilateral, many, you know, all of the nations working together, NATO nations working together to support some stability there is important. But, you know, being strategic in going after al-Qaeda and those who would really threaten us is really the critical target there.
Yep, absolutely. Congresswoman Allison Schwartz, we appreciate your time as always. Thanks for checking in with us.
All right. Very good to talk to you, as always.
All bye-bye. Right. There she goes from the great state of Pennsylvania.
Well,
Commonwealth. Oh, yeah. See, when Jim's out sick, there's no one to correct me ceaselessly.
Well, I waited until after the interview to correct
thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
Thank you. Why, thank you.
Uh-huh. See how polite I am?
I'm perfectly capable of making myself look like a boob in front of important guests. Your help.
Uh-huh.
All right, so President Obama yesterday filled the Rose Garden with doctors supportive of his health care overhaul, saying nobody has more credibility with the American people on this issue than you do. As I mentioned, the Senate Finance Committee will approve, hopefully this week, their bill, their piece of
crap.
their piece of drool.
Yeah.
His president said, when you cut through all the noise and distractions that are out there, I think what's most telling is that some of the people who are most supportive of reform are the very medical professionals who know the healthcare system best. I remember I told you I was on a vacation in Utah, and I heard some right-wingers quoting Ann Coulter and Sean. Whatever, but they were very nice people, so I sat and chatted with them about healthcare reform, and that was one of the things this nice woman threw out. I forget her name. She's like, the doctors don't like it. I'm like, that's not true.
That's not true. The American Medical Association is for it.
I said, she's like, doctors don't like it. I'm like, did Sean Hannity tell you that? That's not true.
Computer says no.
Okay. The president yesterday with actual doctors.
These men and women here would not be supporting health insurance reform if they really believed that it would lead to government bureaucrats making decisions that are best left to doctors. They wouldn't be here today if they believed that reform in any way would damage the very critical and sacred doctor-patient relationship.
He said, at this point, we have heard all the arguments on both sides of the aisle. We've listened to every charge and every countercharge, from the crazy claims of death panels to misleading warnings about a government takeover of the healthcare system. And I mentioned this earlier, but so John Boehner just comes out and says the boner.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He just says that thousands of doctors, just quote unquote, I just air quotes, thousands of doctors.
Without citing a poll.
Objected to it because it would cripple their ability to care for patients. How? How would reforming health insurance, how would that cripple their ability to care for their patients? Unbelievable. The president
did not devote your lives to be bean counters or paper pushers. You took an oath so that you could heal people. You did it so you could save lives. The reforms we're proposing to our health care system will help you live up to that oath.
All right. So we will keep you apprised. It looks like the Senate committee, that would be the last bill. So, you know, then it becomes this whole the melding of the bills.
Yeah, which is a process in and of itself. But it was good to hear Alison Schwartz say that the House has already been working on this.
Yeah, well, as you know, I prefer the House. Don't tell any senators. But they have. They've started from the beginning. Whereas, you know, that's what everybody keeps saying is stop focusing just on the Senate finance bill, because I think
just one of the bills.
Yes, and it's a piece of so. But what we're saying is there's going to be a process. But that's been the problem, is that it is, to me, radically different than the health committee, the Senate health committee, the bill that Ted Kennedy wrote. And so you're right. I mean, Alison Schwartz brings up a good point. If they had been working together from the beginning, like the House has, there wouldn't be such wide divergence here. You know, and as we've said, I don't get it when a Max Baucus comes out and goes, oh, well, I support the public option. I'm not for it because I don't think we can pass it. Well, we can't pass it because idiots like you keep coming out and saying that we can't pass it or we don't have enough votes. It's like, yeah, guess what? You're one of the votes. You're one of the votes. All right. 20 minutes after the hour. What's up? What's up with this economy? We will talk about that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
In fact, there's the distinct possibility that by the end of the day, we'll all be going to hell.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Charlie Pierce, author of Idiot America, coming up in just a couple of minutes. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Kevin in D.C., on Mama on the Larry King last night. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Alabaster Angel.
Mm-hmm.
I must tell you, what a great surprise channel surfing early this morning and turning right on to when he introduced you. I was like, oh, my God, this rules.
Right to Stephanie, hello.
Virtually, yes. And when you popped on the screen, well, I can't tell you what popped up here. But let's
Come on, dude.
Kevin.
Kevin, Louise, whoever.
But seriously, Stephanie, I like that you pointed out that, you know, that Obama's been in office less than a year. And after
eight months.
It always takes longer to build a building than destroy it.
That's right.
So you were smart and sexy as always.
Oh, thank you, baby.
Thirsty, baby.
Thank you, honey. I appreciate it.
And your hair looked great.
Well, that's the most important thing.
Why is that? Why did your hair look great?
Oh, why, funny you should ask, because I use Ovation Hair Therapy. Go to ovationhair.com. Please type in Stephanie, won't you? All right. It's true. Ovation Cell Therapy.
Yeah, you do. And it looks really good.
Mm-hmm. At any rate, I was on with Penn Jillette on this Saturday Night Live sketch, which we already talked about yesterday. Mm-hmm. I just think was completely unfair. I get it. Saturday Night Live's job is to poke fun at politicians on both sides. But 8 months in, is that really fair to go, oh, he's accomplished nothing? First of all, that's not true. Second of all,
But the list of things that they listed, yeah, he hasn't accomplished them. Nothing on gays in the military.
Well, funny you should mention that.
No prosecutions for, you know, Guantanamo.
Yeah, but okay. Let's go through the fun facts. So we did it. There was an article on this on the Saturday Night Live sketch. Are SNL's accusations of Obama being a do-nothing president accurate? Let's run down the list of the promises SNL lampooned. One, close the Gitmo. In one of his first acts as president, Obama signed an order mandating the close of the of Gitmo by January 2010. National Security Advisor James Jones said he was hopeful the White House could still meet that deadline. And again, part of the problem is it's not just up to him. It's these right-wing lawmakers fear-mongering and dividing and screaming like little girls, even though we keep a lot of dangerous terrorists in our prisons now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's been part of the problem. Not letting any of them come here, first of all, it cuts down on other countries that will take them. So, first of all, we haven't hit January 2010 yet. And second of all, you know, he's gotten, once again, obstructionism at every turn. So, but I'm just saying, because it's not done yet, that was a huge, complicated legal mess. You really thought it was going to be closed by now?
He said
is that
it was
fair?
Going to.
By January 2010. All right, pull all troops out of Iraq. Did you really think that was going to be done by now? As we the thing I always misquote. What's the thing?
We have like to be as careful getting out of Iraq
as we were careless getting in.
Thank you.
You finally got that right.
Okay.
In February, Obama told congressional leaders he wanted all troops out of Iraq by August 2010. On June 30th of this year, a large number of troops were pulled out of the country, a move that was understated here in the U.S., but was met by dancing in the streets in some parts of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, improved the situation in Afghanistan. In a recent interview, General McChrystal said things had become a little worse than he had originally anticipated in Afghanistan. The administration currently divided, of course, over how to change course, weighing McChrystal's request for more troops against other options. So, again, what does that mean? Were we supposed to be out of Afghanistan? Is that what that means, that he's done nothing?
I don't have a problem with Afghanistan, you know, not being out of there yet.
Number four, reform the nation's healthcare system. We really think that was going to be done. The year's healthcare reform debate has been one of the more contentious debates in American history. On Friday night, the Senate Finance Committee finally released its mammoth healthcare bill, setting the stage for more debate. As Alison Schwartz said and others, we will get this done. We will get this done by the end of the year. It's not a small thing, reforming America's healthcare. All right, Charlie Pierce, author of Idiot America, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, my dad is a lot more fun after a few beers. Maybe
Stephanie Miller.
It would be nicer if we Irish up her coffee.
33 minutes after the hour.
Let me smell that coffee cup.
1-800-STEP-1-2. Yummy. Mama's medicine. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, by now you've probably seen the screaming idiots on television. They're rooting against America. They broke into applause at a conservative convention when America lost the Olympics.
Yeah.
Because, you see, apparently whatever is bad for the president is good for America, in their opinion. If only we had an author of some sort that wrote some sort of book like that. Why, looky there! It's Charlie Pierce, author of Idiot America, How Stupidity Became a Virtue in the Land of the Free. Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Mama and the Mooks, good morning. Isn't that terrific? I especially love the guys at the Weekly Standard cheering. Did you read that?
Yes.
They have to do something because we know they're not selling ads, right?
Yeah. How do they stay in business?
I don't know, because the big Aussie doesn't own them anymore.
Right.
I mean, they're owned by some, you know, shadowy... You know, loan shark working a corner down there in D.C., something 14th and E or something.
Yeah. If you want to read some real writing, you've got to read the Boston Globe magazine, which Charlie Pierce writes for, my friends.
Oh, thank you. Thank you much.
And Esquire,
too.
By
the way, you know, I am also, like, occasionally a sports writer. So I got to tell you that, you know, if I'm going to, I mean, it's possible that I would have a gig to cover the 2016 Olympics.
Mm.
I got to tell you, 16 days on somebody's expense account, Chicago, Rio? It's Rio.
Yeah.
By the CO. BL is talking Leo, Omeo, Omeo. So I have purely pragmatic reasons. I still like America, but I much prefer the Olympics in Rio.
You prefer you to America.
How does this impact me? Exactly.
Yes, exactly. That makes you a fine American. So, yeah, I mean, it's never seemed more blatant, has it? Them just really rooting against America, which
this is comic opera. I mean, it's comic opera to the point where even some Republicans are starting to notice a little bit. That's been the most amusing thing for me over the last couple of weeks is the people who, and a lot of them, by the way, including, you know, Joe Scarborough and Lindsey Graham, who were big impeachers, suddenly woke up in the morning and realized that their entire conservative movement, their entire Republican Party had been taken over by crazy people. How did this happen?
Yeah, exactly.
I was asleep, and all of a sudden, you know, the rats got in the corn. How did this happen? Please, stop, okay? Just stop.
I know, exactly.
You open the doors to the monkey house, it is far too late to decide how the poop got on the walls.
Yeah, no, well, I know, I love it, exactly. There was a story yesterday about John McCain is trying to, you know, take back sanity in the Republican Party. It's like, you're the one that unleashed Caribou Barbie on an unsuspecting public, and now you're like, what? This is like a party of dopes!
And you know, the people, you know, Tim Pawlenty's supposed to be the moderate voice. He's going out and hiring every wingnut he can to work on his presidential campaign.
Yep, exactly. So, Charlie, I was on Larry King last night talking about the Saturday Night Live sketch. That's what we were just talking about. Is, you know, you and I loves us some comedy, but yeah. I think the premise is unfair. 8 months into the Obama administration, to go, I mean, did any, even the, you know, the most far, you know, fervent far left Obama supporters really think we were going to be out of Iraq and Afghanistan now have health care done?
I think the biggest problem with the skit was it wasn't funny.
Right.
I mean, to
me,
the two gold standards for Saturday Night Live presidential skits are the great one Phil Hartman did about Reagan,
right,
where he was on there, and it turns out Reagan was this genius political evil mastermind behind Iran-Contra,
right,
and he wasn't the kind of foggy guy we all thought he was. That was the pretense. And the other one was the one they did with Bill Clinton after impeachment, where they had the kegger in the Oval Office,
yeah,
and they're hanging swag and stuff,
yeah,
and it ends up with a line on friggin' bulletproof, which I love. John Lovitz's Dukakis After Dark wasn't bad either.
Yeah.
But this thing just—I mean, they still don't have an edge to grab onto this guy with.
Right.
And this was just lame. I mean, this just wasn't funny.
Right. Well, that's exactly it, Charlie. That's what I was saying. Is the best comedy, as we all know, is based on truth.
Yeah.
And this was just kind of like, yeah, I guess if you're a rabid right winger, you liked it, but it wasn't really based on the truth. I mean, we were going down all the points that they, you know, were talking about. And, you know, like I said, we're going to get health care reform. We obviously, he's debating what to do in Afghanistan. That's a little different than getting nothing done.
Yeah.
So
I just, you know, I don't, you know, I do think the guy was, you know, the guy was handed an incredible, you know, mess in aisle five to clean up. I mean, there's virtually nothing that we had 2 weeks after the Clintons got in about, or after the Bush people got in about, you know, W's being taken off typewriters. This was the W's taken off the typewriters of the rest of the world. but there really was, actually there was a triumph yesterday though, Stephanie.
What's that?
And in my book, there's a long passage about a woman named Dr. Elizabeth Blackburn, who's one of the real experts in microbiology and stem cell research. And she got run off the President's Council of Bioethics in the Bush administration by a guy named Leon Katz, who's really kind of a nut.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what happened yesterday?
What's that?
Elizabeth Blackburn, Nobel Prize in Medicine scoreboard.
Wow.
Huh?
Wow.
I mean, this Katz guy is wonderful. I mean, at one point he wrote a piece saying how disgusted he was by seeing people eating ice cream cones in public.
Oh, God.
I'm not kidding. I will read this. Eating on the street, even when undertaken, say, because one is between appointments and has no other time to eat, displays a lack of control. It beckons enslavement to the belly.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
You've got to love enslavement to the belly.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about in your book about just the disregard, obviously, for science and, you know, how the religious crazies took over the asylum. You'll love this story. Conservative Bible Projects cuts out liberal passages.
I think I saw something about
the Bible has gotten too liberal, according to a group of conservatives, and it needs a little editing. That's the inspiration behind the Conservative Bible Project, which seeks to take the text back to its supposed right-wing roots.
Oddly enough, Stephanie, I happen to have that up on my computer screen right now.
Yeah.
But my favorite part of this is the first example, liberal falsehood, where they talk about the quote, the famous quote from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing."
Mm-hmm.
It says, "This does not appear in any other gospel, and the simple fact that some of the persecutors of Jesus did know what they were doing." Some of the persecutors of Jesus did know know what they doing, what they were doing. Excuse me, I don't need the Enigma machine to decode that one.
Right.
We're back in the Oberammergau passion play again.
The group, I love this. The group cites a few reasons why the Bible is too progressive. And they have proposed a Wikipedia-like group editing project.
Oh, no. This is,
can we make Jesus sound like less of a socialist?
This reminds me, remember the great Al Franken thing about the supply side Jesus? That's what these guys are looking for.
Yes, yes, exactly.
And by the way, read all the way to the end of the New Testament, because there's some stuff in Revelations about people who tinker with Holy Scripture. Bad things happen to these people. There's some serious disemboweling going on.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I would be very careful.
Exactly. Now, it was, by the way, speaking of Saturday Night Live sketches, you missed my personal favorite. I was Will Ferrell playing George W. Bush.
Oh, well, yeah.
Lying on
yeah.
his back, playing with like a cat toy in the corner while they were debating Iraq strategy.
That's true.
But here's the thing. I'm glad that we have a president that is taking time to think through this Afghanistan strategy, aren't you?
Yeah, I wish he would think through it and come to the conclusion that we're not any better than Alexander the Great, and we probably can't get anything done there.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I do think that, you know, just bomb the hell out of him didn't work. You know, we tried that. That's
yeah.
okay. I mean, we tried all this stuff, and it really didn't work. So let's just, you know, kind of, you know, hang in there and see what happens when we actually think about stuff. I am a little bit concerned about generals going off the reservation, though.
Yeah.
Well,
that
me
makes
too.
Me a little nervous.
Yeah, no, me too. I was because saying, you know, you shouldn't be giving your advice on the military strategy on TV. It's supposed to be in private to the commander-in-chief. I mean, that's... I was saying, what's he going to bring Geraldo on next to draw the troop movements in the sand? I mean...
See, this is what happened. Poor Geraldo. You draw one troop movement in the sand and you're marked for life. You give away that
you do it one time.
The enemy just once and you never get over it.
And people just will not let go.
They won't let you up on that one. I'm sorry.
Oh, Lord. So what else? I mean, you know, again, it seems like the right wing's running the same play every time, whether it's Afghanistan or Iran. You know, I was saying that, you know, you're a writer. You're,
well,
how about
Jim DeMint deciding he's Secretary of State?
Yes, apparently.
I need to go to Honduras and explain to these guys that they don't have to listen to the guy in the big building.
Yeah, no,
because I'm the senator from South Carolina, by God.
Yeah, isn't that amazing how they talked about people criticizing President Bush on foreign soil, and these guys are going to different countries going, don't listen to the president.
You don't have to listen to him. Come on.
That's crazy.
It's crazy talk. It's absolutely crazy talk.
Yeah. We were saying, the Bush administration policy on Iran. You're a writer. You know how you would have, like, you know, there's little post-it notes with the ideas, and the Bush administration, it was all just like parking lot. Make Iran a parking lot, parking lot, parking lot. Those are really the only idea.
I noticed, by the way, that after the Olympic vote was taken, that lo and behold, John Bolton chimed in.
Yeah.
I mean, where do they find these guys? I mean, this is one thing that drives me nuts. What makes John Bolton an expert on anything? But the towering figure that is unanswered in this, in whom this question is unanswered for me, is Newt Gingrich.
Yeah.
Right.
Is there
a
bigger failure?
I know. And John Bolton, apparently the only, that would seem like the top requirement to be a diplomat, is a really horrific anger management problem.
Yeah. This is exactly the guy I want with advising somebody whose finger is on the button. It's like the George Bush being the guy who you want to have a beer with. You know, I've had beers with a lot of people. There's not one of them I want with a nuclear code, including me.
Exactly. Charlie Pierce, author of 80 in America, a columnist for the Boston Globe magazine. Thanks so much, Charlie. See you next week.
And big props to Elizabeth Blackburn, who actually came out a winner.
Yes, there you
That's
go.
Right.
All right, honey. Thank you. There he goes. Love him. All right, 43 minutes after the hour, lots of folks want to chime in on the Saturday Night Live sketch.
Sketch?
I always meld a sketch and a skit. It's a sketch. That's actually what it was, because it was not funny. And it was not really a skit or a sketch.
I thought it was funny.
Ugh, what do you know? 43 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So much fun, it should be illegal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-mm. 48 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Shannon in Jackson, New Jersey, on the Saturday Night Live sketch, bashing the president. Hello. Hi, Shannon.
I had a little bit of a different take on it. When they did that, I thought it was like a big, poke in the eye of the Republicans, because they're saying he's ruling the country. Well, how is he ruining the country? He hasn't done anything.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what it's hard to understand. It's like, exactly, which is it? Is he some all-powerful, is it a socialist government takeover, or has he accomplished nothing? It's got to be one or the other, doesn't it?
So which one is it, Stephanie?
Vic in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Vic.
Yeah, I got a different take as well. What I'm thinking is that this Saturday Night Live skit, although it wasn't funny, it did send out a message, not necessarily about Obama, about the whole Senate bowing down to the Republicans and just doing everything they say, and now you can't get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it is 0-0-0. But there is,
you know, one. Vic, there was one Republican, I can't remember which lawmaker, the other day that got caught kind of saying, yeah, I think we're doing pretty good for not having that many people, meaning, yeah, we're gumming up enough of the works and stopping stuff pretty. And I agree, because I think on stuff like Gitmo, the Democrats have helped them. You know,
exactly.
And that's why they need to get it together on health care.
Exactly. And the second point with that is he also said, look, these Republicans are not going to do anything except say everything against Obama, even if it means destroying America. And the only person that's going to say something about it is Michael Moore, so be it. Hey, thanks, Del.
Thank you, baby. By the way, that was a trick question, and the answer is neither one, Chris.
Well, you said.
It's not that he hasn't gotten anything done, or it's a socialist takeover.
But that's what you said.
All right, let me give you the fun facts from the SNL sketch. Again.
Sketch.
It's a sketch. It's something between a sketch and a skit that is not funny. Okay. Anyway, my point was that the premise of the sketch, of course, that he's got nothing done. A, we're 8 months in. B, he is going to get health care done. I mean, I just think, whatever, even his most virulent critics, if you're being honest with yourself, did you really think that? Did you really think that we were going to be out of Iraq, out of Afghanistan, have health care done 8 months in? The number five thing that they mentioned, cut down on global warming. Really? Did you think he was going to solve global warming in 8 months?
There are a few things he can do immediately, though, that he hasn't done.
What's that?
And don't ask, don't tell.
Well, I'm getting to that,
all right.
For God's sakes.
Okay. Just saying.
Number six, these are the things that were mentioned in the SNL sketch. Reform the nation's immigration policies. Oh, yeah, because George Bush got that done, too, in 8 years, didn't he?
That's tough to do.
It won't. He announced he would have an immigration bill in Congress by the end of the year, though it likely won't be voted on until 2010. Saying that demagogues who suggested any form of pathway for legalization for those already in the U.S. is unacceptable, would attempt to obstruct his efforts, the president added. Am I going to be able to snap my fingers and get this done? No. And again, George Bush couldn't get it done in 8 years. All right, here we are. Here's the issue you brought up, changing the military's policies on gay soldiers. On Sunday, White House National Security Advisor James Jones reiterated his commitment to fulfilling the campaign promise, but added the president has a lot on his plate, would get around to addressing the issue at the right time. You know, nobody could be more for overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell than me. What I'm saying is, look how contentious health care has already been. I think that he wants to get that done before, trying to take a lesson, I think, from the Clinton playbook. You know, that you've got one contentious issue at a time that you're going to get beaten on nonstop by Republicans. I want him to get to it, too. And he's actually speaking to a group. We'll get to that a little later.
He's speaking to the Human Rights Campaign
this weekend. Mm-hmm. prosecute those who facilitated torture. In August, Attorney General Eric Holder announced the appointment of a special prosecutor to investigate the torture, yada, yada, yada. So, again, that's now in Eric Holder's purview. And do I want them to, tortures to be prosecuted? Yes.
Computer says yes.
Yes, I do. Taking all this into consideration, are SNL satirical criticisms of President Obama's do-nothingness valid? Probably not. This is an AP article.
Okay, thanks.
Because as illustrated by the old adage about how one shouldn't watch sausage or legislation get made, the process of change and getting anything done in Washington is a long and messy one, and Obama is nearly 8 months into his term as president. That was my conclusion as well, which I said on Larry King last night. Noel in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the SNL skit as well. Hey, Noel.
Hi, good morning, Steph. Good morning, Mooks.
Good morning.
You know what I think Saturday Night Live sketch was just a lead-up to what's probably going to happen this coming Saturday, where I pray to God that they come out and do a sketch that really slams the right. But more than that, Steph, I hope they slam United Health Group, because I'm sick and tired of hearing United Health Care, United Health Group. I want a name. I want a face that we can go after. I want to see Steve.
Yeah, I love these names, Noel, the Conservatives for Patients' Rights, which is kind of funny, because conservatives, as we know, aren't for patients' rights.
Yes.
Yeah, but
they're for insurance companies' rights.
As long as we we have these organizations to attack and go after and battle with, that's fine and dandy, but we need names and faces like Stephen Hemsley, Gail Boudreau, David Wickman. These are the people who run United Health Group, the parent company of United Healthcare. When are they going to be interviewed? When are we going to hear their rationale and their justification for the havoc that they're wreaking on this country?
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's go to Elizabeth in Beaver Lake, New York. She's from Beaver Lake. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Davis and Butthead and Mama. How are you?
Good. How are things in Beaver in your Beaver Lake?
Juicy.
Dude.
Dude.
Sorry. Listen, I just gotta say,
Elizabeth Louise.
Don't ask, don't tell. I am in favor of implementing it for nurses, because if anyone found out I was gay, I don't know what I'd do.
Really? In the nursing profession?
I just came out on national radio, dude. I'm
yeah, you kind of did.
Well, you mentioned you were from Beaver Lake. Now, Elizabeth, what do you mean by that? Actually, you would fear for your job or what if people knew you were gay?
No, I was just kidding.
Oh, okay.
Well, then.
Guys, I figure a few other people might know. I was joking.
Okay. All right.
Sorry. I'll never do it again.
Okay.
Actually, I have a serious topic, though.
Yes.
When they were talking about health care earlier, I was a mental health evaluator in the emergency room for 2 years, and the number of people I saw who came in states of advanced crisis, violence, all that stuff, because they had been undertreated prior to coming because of not having insurance and not having access to health care, by the time they get to the ER, they are just a mess. And actually,
right.
Region here, we had an undertreated mentally ill man who killed his mother.
Oh my God.
Just in the last 2 weeks, a guy who was known to us here in this community. Well, and
right, Elizabeth, that's exactly my point. But I'll find out. It's escaping my name, the Republican lawmaker. But that's exactly, it shows how little understanding they have of the health care crisis in this country. That
exactly,
if you end up in the emergency room for depression, it's because you're right. It has gotten to such a critical point because you don't have insurance to treat it.
Exactly. You're over the edge. In order to qualify even to be seen in the emergency room, you've got to be suicidal.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Elizabeth. Appreciate it. Let's go to Nora in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, hey, Stephanie. Thanks for taking me, because I thought Saturday Night Live was an extremely deep and slashing satire on the people that are ridiculous and dumbass enough to think they can judge. 9 months into a pregnancy, I mean, he was almost like a fetus president, and now he's becoming full-blown president. It was deeply slashing. Anyone with a thinking brain can tell that you can't judge him until, like, at least 2013.
Exactly. He's a zygote, for God's sakes. Let's go to Mike in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
Hey, Chris. I love you guys to death, but
thanks.
Steph, on that list you just read off of the things that this administration is going to do, did they have anything to say about renewing Blackwater and Halliburton's contract, about Bagram Air Force Base, and they're still renditioning people, and Jim DeMint going to Honduras,
mm-hmm.
how that's actually against the Constitution
yeah.
and, you know, prosecutable.
Yeah, this could
and
be Jim DeMint's Waterloo.
And the financial institutions, he's going to be enforcing regulations. What has he done about enforcing regulations since we gave them billions of dollars?
Well, you know, the thing is, Mike, I'm not saying you're not raising good points. I'm just saying this president has a lot on his plate. And to me, I don't know what you think, Chris, but this economy has been job one. And I think that, again, all the economists have said we pulled ourselves back from the brink.
Mm-hmm.
That is job
right.
one.
Right,
and
I agree.
Speaking of which, jobs would be job two. And they will tell you what they had to say about that. And Representative Ed Perlmutter of Colorado next. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Why am I walking on sunshine? Because this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Napa, get the good stuff. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Mama's appearance on Larry King Live is off the, I guess, the ban on talk radio hosts on CNN?
Yes.
Okay. Not so much.
Yeah, just it's on the front page there, stephaniemiller.com. Just scroll down to the video section, and Shano was kind enough to post it up on the YouTube.
Thank you, Shano. You can email us all at stephaniemiller.com as well. And, oh, you know the best thing about being back on the TV, Chris?
What?
My magical hate mail is back. Very short, very to the point. I'll get to them later.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of misspellings. Okay.
A lot of all
caps. A
lot
of unbridled rage.
All caps?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right. In the meantime, lots of stuff in the news to check in on. We have a first-time guest, Representative
right.
Earl Perlmutter of
Ed Perlmutter
of the great state of Colorado. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thanks for having me on your show.
How badly did I mangle your name just now?
It's Ed Perlmutter, but a lot of people confuse me. In fact, they call me Earl around here a lot, so don't worry about it. It's just don't call me late to dinner.
Yeah. That was a sitcom, You Can Call Me Earl, wasn't it?
Well, it's still on.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. All right. Well, good morning, Congressman. This is, I guess, a big week, I'm hoping. We say that every week, but that for health care, I know the Senate Finance Committee should be done with their bill, and then we're going to be able to start melding all of them, right?
Yes. Both on the Senate side and on the House side, now is when you start moving them to the floor of the particular, you know, part of Congress. And so the Senate Finance Committee is finished. They're still working on some financial issues that they've got to confirm through the CBO. The House, we're working on melding the three bills together, but things are moving now.
Well, you know, here's what I get confused about, Congressman, is on the right, they're like, oh, health care's in trouble, health care's in trouble, oh, it's not going to happen now. And in the meantime, you're going, this is the process, right? And I think as former President Clinton has pointed out, this is way farther than this has ever gotten. This has never passed every committee. So, I mean, you know, this is the legislative process, isn't it?
It is the legislative process. We have moved through committees, lots of hearings, lots of debates, lots of changes to original ideas, which is how the legislative process works. Now in the Senate, it's coming to the floor of the Senate. In the House, these things are coming to the floor of the House for further debate, probably some more amendments, and then passage. We are moving these things.
Well, that's what it's hard to figure out which it is on the right. They're saying that, you know, it's not going to get done, and then at the same time, apparently, we're moving too fast.
Well, the right, they are so schizophrenic in their arguments on this thing, and they're just getting farther and farther out there by themselves. Even, you know, some Republican leaders around the country are telling their people in the Congress and in the Senate, come on, guys, we have to have change. This health care system that exists today can no longer carry itself. We got to change it. We've got to move it forward, and that's what we're trying to do in the Congress. They'd love to just, you know, keep the status quo. Those guys are so opposed to anything. You know, they want the state just say no, we like the status quo. But as a Democrat, we're going to make some changes to this health care system so that it can sustain itself.
Yep, absolutely. Congressman, we've been talking, I talked last night on Larry King, we've been talking this morning about this Saturday Night Live sketch that, you know, basically the punchline was supposed to be that the president hasn't gotten anything done.
Yes.
So far, which, you know, I have as good a sense of humor as anybody. I just don't think the premise is fair. Do you?
No, it's not even close. The, you know, let's just start with the Recovery Act, the stimulus bill to get this country back on track financially and economically. That was a giant bill. We passed appropriations bills. We passed the Lilly Ledbetter bill. We passed the Children's Health Bill, both of which, you know, could never see the light of day under the Republican Congress or the Republican president. We're passing all sorts of legislation dealing with natural resources and otherwise, you know, but we have two major pieces of legislation that are out there that are, you know, big changes in how we've done business in this country, and I think changes that are long overdue, and that's the energy and environment bill, the climate bill, and then this health care legislation. So, you know, there is this noise that he isn't getting anything done. This has probably been the most productive Congress, you know, in at least 60 mm-hmm. or 70 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was Republican leader Mitch McConnell, I guess, got caught the other day admitting that the Wall Street bailout he thought was a success. He thought it succeeded in stabilizing the banking system. But, you know, I do think that economists on both sides of the aisle have said that we have pulled ourselves back from the brink of depression with the stimulus and other moves.
No, we've done what we've had to do to really avert a terrible crisis. Now, that's not to say that there isn't a lot of work to do, and there still is a lot of pain being felt on Main Street. And we've got to, you know, continue to work to help get things back on track for every American and not just Wall Street. Now, Wall Street and the banking system were on the verge of collapse, and if they had collapsed, the troubles we'd be seeing would last for decades. But
yep.
We still have a lot of pain that we can't ignore,
well,
and a lot of those places come from getting this health care bill passed and working on some of this energy legislation.
Well, and also, Congressman, I mean, I think the big thing, obviously, with these unemployment numbers that came out is jobs. And Robert Gibbs, you know, had this to say yesterday.
The economic team is certainly looking at and working on any way that we can create more jobs.
And in the energy and environment bill, there are thousands and thousands of green jobs. In Colorado, we're seeing those jobs develop. In my district is the National Renewable Energy Lab, so we have a lot of spinoffs from that. So we're seeing jobs develop there. In the healthcare industry, whether we're doing the electronic records or we're on the cusp of some major changes or major cures on heart disease and on cancer. I mean, lots of jobs in the healthcare industry. So we're on the right track, but it's we can't forget that it's tough out there, but boy, we're making it better.
Right, because I do think that that's the main worry, I know, for a lot of people. You know, it's not just a number, the unemployment. You look at it and you gulp and you go, God, I hope I'm not next. I mean, I think all of us, whatever business we're in, you know, you're seeing people to the left of you and the right of you fall.
But here's the good news, Stephanie, and again, I'm just going to speak about Colorado, and I know a lot of the other states are different. We were up to 7.8 or 7.9% unemployment in July. Now we're down to about 7.2, so it's going in the right direction. The trouble is, this time last year, it was about 5%. So we're worse off than we were last year, but we're going in the right direction.
Yep. Well, you know, and what would have been several hundred thousand jobs if the Olympics had come here. And as you know, unfortunately, a lot of conservatives have been caught on tape cheering America losing the Olympics. So I don't know how you work with people over there, Congressman.
These guys want, I mean, the problem is the way they think right now of no change in health care. They want us to continue to buy all our oil from the Middle East. They don't want us to reduce our consumption and be more efficient. I mean, they're talking, you know, in a way that really hurts Americans and our country. We've got to change these big things. That's where the president is headed. That's where the Congress is headed. And we're going to do it, you know?
That's right.
We're just going to do it. This has to be done.
Congressman, let them cheer against America. I will let you you go and continue saving America. Thanks for taking time for us. Please come back.
Stephanie, thanks for having me on your show.
All right, I appreciate it. There he goes, Congressman Ed Perlmutter of the great state of Colorado.
And I just got a tweet. Mm-hmm. My name is Earl is no longer on the air.
Oh, good.
So.
Thank you for that information.
Yes.
Darn it. There's a big gaping void in my life. Okay.
Well,
by the way, the Dow is up 169 points as we speak. More good news for America, bad news for Republicans. All right. Yay! Can I have my hate letter music, please? That's the good thing about being back on the TV. Mama won the Larry King Live last night.
Yes!
Mm-hmm. So that's me. I'm pretty sure I'm going to predict that Rush will talk about me today.
Okay.
Because I had to tell Larry that, because I don't think Larry listens to the drug addled gas bag.
Right.
I was talking about them rooting against America, that he called the president a blithering idiot and a, what else was it? Oh, an imbecile. We're being governed by an imbecile.
That's right.
It was like, really? They say that, Stephanie? They really say that?
Yes.
I'm like, yes, Larry, we played the audio on our show yesterday. We'll play it again tomorrow. But Rush will say that I took him out of context or whatever. He'll say something else that I don't understand.
Stephanie Miller who is a babe, by the way. I must point this out.
On some days.
He likes you.
All right. Okay, is there a context that you can call the president a blithering idiot or an imbecile and it's okay? I don't think so. All right, so I was just pointing that out. And so I got letters from the right-wing Rush fans.
Okay.
They don't really explain why. It's just the subject line. This is from Tammy. You're a bitch.
Oh.
That all you are.
That all you are?
Yeah, that was it. If you've seen the signs at the right wing at the 9/12 things and the tea bagger parties, they're not so much with the grammar and the spelling and stuff.
No, they're not.
So that all I am, apparently. Bitch.
Okay. She couldn't make a contraction, you know, with an apostrophe and an S.
That's all Tammy could eke out.
Okay.
Okay. A lot of times, too, these are the people that have a problem getting everything in the big box.
Right.
They seem to put a lot into the subject line because they don't seem to realize that you can actually, there's another space where that's the actual body of the email in which most people express the bulk of their thoughts.
Right.
The subject line just for, you know,
that's why that
eye-catcher.
That's why that box is bigger than the subject line box.
Yeah.
So you could put more into it.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have posited before on the show that we just think a lot of people's letter writers hate letter writers. Their wife, Lurleen, has not showed them how to write in the big box yet.
Yes.
Damn it, Lurleen! It doesn't stop typing again! Okay, this is from Adrian in the subject line. Just saw you on CNN and you are such flake and a phony.
A phony?
Yes.
How are you a phony?
I don't know. Well, he's getting to that.
All right.
Oh, I said that I think it's unfair to judge the president 8 months into the presidency. I said that, you know, he was left quite a few piles of flaming dog poo by the previous administration.
And he was.
So Adrian writes, the dog poo you refer to should be rubbed in your face.
Oh.
That's all Adrian had to say. He is reaching Chester Riley proportions of, Chester Riley would be the poster on, was that Newsmax that said that, he called me a booger eater.
I think, was it Newsmax?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or Newsbusters, one of those right-wing things.
I think it was Newsbusters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They bust the news, you see.
Yes. Okay, mm-hmm. So, he's, poo! In your face!
Booger!
All right, thank you, right-wing hate letter writers. Appreciate it. Okay, wow. So, David Letterman last night apologized on the air to his wife, Regina, for his revelation last week of sexual relationships with staff members, saying she had been horribly hurt. Yeah, I was just guessing. As a woman, you remember, Chris, I kind of went out on a limb. I said, you know, it's their private business. He wasn't actually married till this last March. But I'm just guessing that she was not happy.
Not one of your fans!
I don't think we know their actual, like, I don't know how long they've been living together or dating, but they've obviously have a son that's 5 or 6, and so they've clearly been a couple for a long time. They only got married this past March. But
I think they've been together since the late 80s. I think I read that somewhere.
Yeah, he said, I've got my work cut out for me to mend the relationship, he went on to say.
I would just like to set the record straight. No, I'm not having sex with these women. Those episodes are in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that sounded eerily like I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
And then he talked about
it. She has been horribly hurt by my behavior. And when something happens like that, if you hurt a person, then it's your responsibility, you try to fix it. And at that point, there's only two things that can happen. Either you're going to make some progress and get it fixed, or you're going to fall short and perhaps not get it fixed.
Wow, some really surprisingly personal stuff from David Letterman. I will talk about my thoughts on that.
Okay.
Oh, and what Larry King had to say about it during the commercial break last night to me. We chatted.
There you go again, revealing
the... No, it was surprising, but very interesting.
Okay.
I don't think he'll mind, or he'll be banned again. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's all about fun. It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Arrested Development. We had a request for this song earlier today, so there you go.
Good, good, good to know.
Yes.
All right. Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz coming up on the Newsmaker Hotline in just a couple of minutes to check in on the news of the day. Mama on the Larry King Live last night. Oh, apparently Penn Jillette tweeted about me.
Oh, no.
He tweeted, I just did Larry King Live. I think I was supposed to be the right-wing nut. I came on to the left of Stephanie Miller. No war. Oh, great. Now I'm the warmonger on Larry King last night. Thanks a lot, Penn.
Well, you are a warmonger.
I just said I'm giving the president the benefit of the doubt and the time to, you know, think through the Afghanistan strategy.
Way to want to get out of...
Penn's like, oh, now! I'm like, no!
He is a good libertarian.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, libertarians, they just want to keep to themselves.
Okay. At any rate, I was talking about David Letterman obviously apologized to his wife last night and his staff members. He said, I'm terribly sorry that I put my staff in that position. Actually, it's the position that he put his staff in. You see what I'm saying? His staff in the position that he put some of his staff on his staff, if you get what I'm saying. He labeled the mistake as inadvertent because I just wasn't thinking ahead. He was thinking with the little head. See what I'm saying there? It was the same. He thanked the staff for being supportive and putting up with something stupid I've gotten myself involved in. I think a lot of people have been saying, and I don't know, like there might be another shoe to drop here. I mean, as far as we know, no women have come forward that this was not consensual or whatever. But I was going to say it was surprising during the commercial break I was talking to Larry King, and he was quite the feminist. I did not know this about the Lair. He was just saying, you know, it is policy at a lot of places, and you were saying it depends if he doesn't actually work for CBS, but Larry was saying, like, at CNN, you can't do it. He said because there is a natural imbalance of power.
Absolutely.
He said, if I ask someone out on my staff, of course they go, mm-hmm. you know, but he said, because, you know, the balance of power is just off, so he said, you can't, you know, so that was his opinion, whether, I don't know what
most companies have policies against fraternization mm-hmm. like that, because it just leads to trouble.
Yeah, just surprised. I guess part of it is you think it happens all the time. I mean, as somebody keeps bringing up, I mean, Les Moonves married someone that worked on his staff. He's the president of CBS, so I'm not sure how you square all that. But
And she still hosts Big Brother on CBS, so I don't know how that works.
Yeah. And you know I make you me when I'm in a bad mood, so I don't know where that
which
falls.
Which is every
single
morning.
It's kind
morning.
Of a gray area. When I've had too much Carnation Instant Bitch and I need a little bit of, spooning, then...
And it makes it hard when you roll in 10 minutes before the show to get the job done before showtime.
Mm. All right.
Criminy.
Okay. meanwhile, the lawyer for the man accused of the extortion attempt against Letterman made a threat to put forward evidence that Mr. Letterman had engaged in sexual harassment of his staff members. Mm-hmm. So this is getting curiouser and curiouser. He said the case, an expert was saying the case would end up being decided in a plea bargain before the trial. He said Mr. Letterman would probably prefer not to have the details of his behavior thrashed out publicly. From the DA's point of view, though, he's done everything right, referring to Letterman. As for Mr. Halderman, the expert said, wouldn't this fellow rather resolve it than spend 5 years in prison? So, what's his name? Halderman's lawyer said that he said David Letterman is a master at manipulating audiences. He said he gave his entire story and there's nothing more to be said. That's simply wrong. He said he's looking forward to cross-examining Letterman. How are we doing on time, Paul? It's probably, wouldn't enjoy that. All right, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz on the Newsmaker Hotline next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're right. I guess no one's ever written a book to help a middle-aged woman turn her life around.
33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. The Dow is up 153 points. Why? I think it's because I announced that Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz would be on the show.
Oh, yes.
Who is a one-woman economic stimulus. Good morning, Congresswoman.
That must be it. Good morning.
Or I could be, I'm just a giant suck-up. Either way. Congresswoman, let's talk first about a little something different before we get to health care. Robert Gibbs talking about the President and General McChrystal.
The President had a very constructive meeting about what's going on in Afghanistan, not what's going on on cable television.
Speaking of which, I was on, of course, cable television last night. And
yes, I
just
saw you.
Why,
you were fantastic.
Why, thank you. Why, look at us being twin suck-ups. Congresswoman, I was saying that, you know, I for one am happy to have a president a commander-in-chief think through these things that are so critical to not just our security, but to, you know, American lives in harm's way. I don't agree with General McChrystal talking about this in the media. Do you, speaking of cable TV?
You know, I thought you were totally on the mark, Stephanie, when you said that on Larry King last night. It was... It was not lost on me that we finally have a president who is actually thoughtful, who mm-hmm. isn't going pell-mell into a foreign country and just on a recommendation without thinking about it, sending 40,000 more troops as if that's nothing, no big deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, sending 40,000 troops into harm's way, these are real people, real Americans who have families, making sure that we know the strategy and that the strategy makes sense before just deploying 40,000 more troops. I agree with you. I appreciate having a president who's going to take his time.
Well, you know, and I think it was Senator Boxer I heard early this morning, Congresswoman, that was saying, you know, that exactly is it. Like, what is the strategy? I'm not sure. I mean, there are obviously a lot of people within the administration that disagree on whether, you know, it should be a counterstrike force or whether, you know, and she she was talking about the number of troops. We already have, you know, we obviously vastly outnumber the Taliban, and we have, a, you know, 90-something percent of the Afghani people are against the Taliban as well. Some people think that the strategy is more training Afghan forces and getting them to defend themselves.
Well, I mean, I am concerned when we have, you know, a general who's in the field there recommending that we send 40,000 more troops, and you know, you continue to see more Americans die, and we need to make sure that we get a handle there. I mean, to leave our troops that are there without the reinforcements that they need, and to not have the right balance, that does not make may not make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why the president is carefully weighing General McChrystal's recommendations, because I don't think it's not a no-brainer one way or the other.
Right, and as Robert Gates said yesterday, I mean, I think this should be done privately with the commander in chief, not on television, or as the Republicans are demanding he come and testify. I said, you know, what are you going to do, bring Geraldo to like sketch out the troop movements for you? This isn't supposed to be done in public, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think General Jones was right in sort of not so subtly saying that there's a chain of command and it needs to be adhered to.
Absolutely. So let's move on to healthcare. It looks like the Senate Finance Committee will be done hopefully this week, and then we're going to start being able to meld the healthcare bills from the House and the Senate.
Yeah, I mean, we are literally moving towards passing a bill. I mean, Stephanie, I'm very confident. I think I told you this when I was on the show the last time. I'm very confident that we're going to pass a significant healthcare reform. And what you said last night was absolutely the right thing. That's priority number one. That is job one. We are going to do the right thing by covering 47 million Americans that don't have health care, providing security and stability, as the president said, was so essential to the people that do have health care, because right now they certainly don't have either one of those things, and start to control the overall cost. It's essential. We can't really turn the economy around. We can't really address the deficit without significant health care reform.
Well, and I think it's significant that he was surrounded by so many doctors. That obviously there's a reason the American Medical Association and others are for this health care reform. Doctors know that it's the health insurance companies that are becoming between them and their patients.
The doctors that I talk to are totally ready for health care reform. They understand that it's essential. They are tired of having to deal with their patients in a windmill kind of way, you know, where they're not able to really devote the time that they need to be able to focus on their patients' health. You know, assembly line health care needs to end, and we need to make sure that we can provide people with quality, affordable coverage that is tied to them, that is, you know, not going to get dropped on them because they have a pre-existing condition, and that they're not going to get priced out of because of lifetime and annual caps that are artificially set by insurance companies who care more about their bottom line than they do about their patients.
Yeah, absolutely. Congresswoman, you know, one of the things that, you know, we talk to you all the time, of course, about trying to work with people actively every day in Congress that seem to really and truly just be rooting against the president and, I guess, America at this point. I mean, I got to get your reaction. You heard this audio, right? You saw the video of this conservative conference after it was announced that America lost the Olympics.
Does anyone care that Chicago is out?
Just announced that Chicago is out.
And high-fiving ensued if you saw the actual video.
Unbelievable. I mean, they're rooting. I'm ashamed to watch Americans root against America. I mean, at the end of the day, there is no politics in terms of our politics in America in the Olympics. We should all be rooting for whatever city is pursuing the goal of bringing the Olympics here, because it creates jobs, because it brings tourism here, because it allows us to showcase the wonderful aspects of American life. And I think Chicago will live to fight another day. But
yep.
To watch right-wingers rejoice in the downfall of our Olympic dreams is really disgusting.
Yeah, well, and I was saying last night on Larry King about, you know, we played actual audio on the show yesterday of Rush Limbaugh calling the president a blithering idiot and an imbecile for not getting the Olympics. And, you know, I'm sure he's going to say I took him out of context. Is there a context in which you could call the president that and it would be okay?
There's no context that I'm familiar with that would be okay. But that goes into the category of Joe Wilson screaming "you lie" at the president while he's giving a joint address to the nation. You know, the right wing, you know, all the way back to, you know, when President Clinton was in office, they just are so, they're wallowing in their own misery right now. They hate worse than poison that they are in the minority. They are praying for the president to fail, praying for America to fail so that they can politically benefit. And that's just sad.
But do you feel like the right wing noise machine is winning at all, though, Congressman, or Congresswoman, when you see the sketch on Saturday Night Live that we were talking about on TV last night? I mean, to me, it's like, how is that fair? How is the premise fair to say, oh, he hasn't gotten anything done in 8 months this Republican obstructionism?
I'm not going to whine about that. It's you know, fair is fair. All fair in comedy. I mean, you are. There's no one better than you at that. And you know, you have to give it as good as you get it. And I think the president and the White House,
We make fun of Democrats that deserve it, but not the president.
You know what? President Obama isn't above comedy sketches.
That's true.
Right.
You know, he was a beneficiary of them as a candidate, and you know, when we have a lot of wonderful things that we can point to.
Yep.
We passed tremendous legislation this year, energy, you know, significant historic energy legislation, covering 11 million children when it comes to health care, making sure that we can that we revitalize the auto industry. I mean, we've got a lot to be proud of, and you know, Saturday Night Live has a job to do. They need to make people laugh.
We make fun of lots of Democrats, but not you, number one, because I'm a giant suck-up, and number two, I tangled with you during the primary, and I would not do it again.
I don't think we'll ever have to worry about that again.
Yeah.
Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz of the great state of Florida. Thanks so much, Congresswoman.
As always, great to be
all right,
with you.
You too.
Thanks.
There she goes. And she wears Chuck Taylors.
Well,
she could kick my ass.
When her ankle heals.
Yes.
That's why she was wearing the Chuck Taylors, because
she just looked cool.
She broke her ankle.
I know. Kicking my ass. Okay, 42.
Yes.
Kicking somebody's ass, clearly. 42 minutes after the hour. See, now the Dow's up 150 points, all because Debbie Wasserman Schultz was on my show.
Yep.
All right, we have some more celebrity stack, including John and Kate. We can't go on with our lives until we tell you the latest on John and Kate. Ah, will make me feel better about your marriage or relationship or life in general as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Facts with Slag Whistle. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sunny, a fine American and the smartest girl in class today. Right, Steph, just a reminder, 8 months into his first term, George W. Bush had not finished My Pet Goat yet. As we need to pound home the fact the only thing he accomplished in his first 6 years with a sound majority in both the House and the Senate was the deregulation and neglect of the industries that have driven our economy to the brink of the abyss. Thank you very much, Sonny. Matthew in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I don't normally listen to this radio station, but
welcome.
Yes, it's quite.
Join us.
It's quite
join
disturbing.
Us. Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
What has disturbed you thus far?
Oh, just the unfettered support and propaganda of socialism.
Oh, what, socialism.
What is socialism, Matthew?
What did I step in?
Well, you know, it's funny how President Obama kind of cherry picks these doctors to.
Cherry picks. The entire medical association is for his health care reform plan.
Well, they're sellouts. And
okay.
Yeah.
And socialists, I'm guessing.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't
wait,
really
Matt,
know.
You guys throw this word around. What does it mean?
What
does it mean, socialism?
I don't really know what their
he's not answering
agreement
you.
Is with president, but
well, it's a secret socialist handshake.
What is socialism is taking from those who earn.
Uh-huh.
What they've earned and giving it to people that don't earn what they
and how is he doing that exactly?
Well, he wants to give people things that they haven't earned.
How are you giving someone health care if they have to buy health insurance?
Well, because he's a backdoor private supporter of a single payer system, and
oh.
So this is all just a slow you know how to cook a frog.
If only
you know how to cook a frog.
Oh dear God, you're a Glenn Beck fan, aren't you?
No, I don't listen to Glenn Beck.
Okay,
but hey, listen, you know.
How is that a backdoor plan to get single payer?
There's several states that have tried the government healthcare systems, and they're all going bankrupt.
Matthew, what is your proof that this is his backdoor plan?
Well, he said verbally that he is a supporter of a single-payer system.
Yes, and if you were starting from scratch, that's been proven, I think, all over the world that would be more efficient.
Why are they
efficient?
Still pushing a government option?
Because
government option is not true competition.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Oh, absolutely.
Hardly. How the government does not have a budget that has to be profitable.
Well, Matt, let me ask you something. How did our healthcare system get so? How did our healthcare system get so broken? If
we have the greatest healthcare system
in
the world.
If you can afford it,
people can afford it if they make the right choices. Okay, people want to go out and spend money on clothes and go partying on the
weekend.
Oh, I
see. So it's only people that are spending irresponsibly that can't afford health insurance in America.
That's pretty insulting, Matthew. That's pretty damn insulting.
Well, no, it's not, because I've gone without health care.
So
okay,
have
myself,
I.
And gone
it's
without
scary.
Insurance, and I made those choices.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So don't tell me about it's insulting.
So the 47
okay?
million people that don't have it, just screw them, basically.
47 million is an absurd inflation, okay?
It is?
Yes.
Ah.
It's more like about maybe 12 or 15 million.
How do you know that?
Well, those are the numbers that I've heard. I don't know about your numbers. You're probably
okay.
counting
all right.
Illegal.
I'm on freerepublic.com.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm counting illegals.
Uh-huh. Boy, he was just a whole lasagna full of right-wing talking points, wasn't he?
Wow, that was a right-wing frittata.
Wow.
Zoinks. Okay. That belonged in the douche diaries, as does this John Gosselin news.
Oh, God, do we have to have more Gosselin news?
From the Douche Diaries, delisted.com writes, John Gosselin cleans out the joint bank account. Radar reports on the same day John was telling Larry King he wanted to play nice with Kate, he secretly took a shovel and pretty much emptied out their joint bank account. He rolled away with $200,000, leaving her with $1,000. Oh, dear. How many times has Mama told you, give your partner your body, your soul, your heart. Do not ever give them your PIN number. Ever. Delisted writes, part of me is pretty disappointed in Kate, because I would have thought that she would have emptied the account out as soon as John started passing his peen around.
Uh-huh.
She's not the mega f***tress I thought she was. That's a new derivation of the C word I had not heard. All right. I think Sarah Jessica Parker may have a gay ray. Much like Mama's, yes.
Okay.
She is working on a new film comedy with Hugh Grant. He telephones her every day now to tell her he loves Sex and the City.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Oh, dear.
Dude that loves Sex and the City.
Oh, dear.
He became a fan of the TV show, and he would give her a daily critique of the Sex and the City episode from that day. Just saying.
That's pretty damn gay.
All right. TheSuperficial.com. This is for the boys. Mariah Carey's breasts are getting out of control. You have to see this picture.
I know.
This is, what the hell?
She's like your former producer.
Oh, yes. Yes, right. Mariah Carey attended the New York Film Festival screening of her new movie, Precious, and her breasts are getting way out of hand. Somewhere over the past few months, they passed the fine line between huge and hefty waitress at a truck stop diner. But the important thing is we're aware now, so somebody can have the jaws of life ready when Nick Cannon gets trapped inside. Granted, he'll suffocate almost immediately, but at least his poor mother will get to see his body at the funeral. The superficial offer.
Those look like some 36 triple Ds. Seriously.
Exactly. Wow, speaking of, these are going to be man breasts. Jim Carrey is going to gain 40 to 50 pounds to play Curly in The Three Stooges. Oh, speaking of Curly, you have to give me my audio crack one more time before
okay.
we leave today. Terry Jeffrey, the teeny tiny voice Republican pundit with a great big vision for America.
Yes.
They're getting awfully screechy when asked to defend Rush Limbaugh on the right these days.
I think Rush...
No, go go ahead, play the whole thing.
Okay.
All right.
I think Rush makes an excellent point. I think one thing that he's pointing to, and I think it's something Americans ought to be very worried about with President Obama right now, is his going off to Copenhagen to lobby to get the Olympics for his hometown and failing to get it shows a serious lack of prudence.
Yeah!
Yeah!
He's not being prudent!
We represent.
Oh, you're mean.
I think Rush makes a good point. Okay. Glenn in Idaho, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Glenn.
Hello.
Hello, go ahead.
Your last caller there, I'm getting tired of these guys. They think that healthcare is going to be given out to a bunch of people who don't have jobs for some reason.
I know.
I work extremely hard for my money and make probably more money than that guy does, but I can't have healthcare because of a pre-existing condition.
Yeah, because according to him, you didn't make the right choices in life. That's why.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess so. Well,
okay. At least you admitted it. Okay. Let's go to Glenn. Laura in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Laura.
Hey, you know, that guy who just called about health insurance, has he talked to all the small business owners across the country who can't afford to get health insurance for themselves or their employees?
Yeah, exactly.
And second of all, and actually primarily, I didn't make bad choices when I got MS several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I couldn't even get insurance for quite a while. So I'm wondering if I made bad choices.
Yeah.
If this guy could give me some advice about how to get in health insurance, because clearly I was out spending money shopping.
Yeah, because clearly you made the irresponsible choice to get MS. That's the kind of compassionate conservatism we have these days. Isn't that something?
I want this guy to do some research on how many states went bankrupt and what the outcomes were for children when states provided children's health insurance plans, and call you back and actually debate this issue reasonably and with facts.
Well, you can't debate with him because he has different numbers, Chris, as you know.
Yeah.
I'm wildly overstating the number of uninsured Americans at 47 million.
Because you're counting the illegals.
Janine in Long Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show, who are not actually people, as you know.
Right.
Hello, Janine.
Hello. I have to comment on that guy, too. I mean, I'm just curious. Does his kids go to public school? Does he have parents? Are they on Medicare? Does he participate in any of those socialist-like government-provided benefits that we all use every day? You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Was he driving on a road, perhaps, when he called? Let's go to Joanna in Boston to finish this out today. Hey, Joanna.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
All right. Well, my husband and I had to buy our own insurance because I'm a stay-at-home mom, and the job that he had, we had to purchase it through the company. We had no choice in what we could buy. We had to buy what was offered. And when we figured in all the deductibles and copays, it was over $14,000 a year.
Because you made the wrong choices, you and your husband, according to our right-wing caller.
Yeah.
They're so simple over there. Life is so simple.
All right. Carl Frisch and Hal Sparks tomorrow.
Woo-hoo. See you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.